So welcome to batch number 3 of Local News and Features. Many thanks to Kath for reading with me. And now I'm joined by Uta and Liz, and we've got a few more batches of news for you. We're going to have 4 headlines for you in batch number 3. And I'll go over to Liz first, who's going to do her headlines.
Tourist numbers generate £2.3 billion economy boost. So Stoke's a wonderful place to come to. And plans for 130 flats in City Tower block set to be approved.
And over to Uta for her
headlines. I'm going to send out a warning after conmen targeted 3 city women. But we also have a £3 million bid to improve the connection from the A50 to the A500.
But before we do that, we have a little treat for you, and we're going to have Liz's one and only quiz.
Okay, now then, if you count up your scores today, I've got a total of 5 extra bonus points here, so you've got a possible 16 points. So I'll start with number 1. Which former Prime Minister was born to Welsh parents in Manchester in 1863? Number 2. Bastille Day is celebrated on the 14th of which month? Number 3. Which Canadian city is known as Hollywood North because of the number of films shot there? Number 4. The word canvas derives from the name of which plant-based drug? Number 5. What was introduced in France in 1899... but it was not introduced in Britain until 1934. 35 years later, what was that? Number 6. In which country would you find the Eiger, famous amongst climbers for its notoriously difficult north face? Number 7. What type of drink is known as Adam's Ale? Number 8. On how many hills was ancient Rome built? Number 9. Which word beginning with the letter M can be a Portuguese island group, a fortified wine, or a type of cake? Number 10. Whose faces are carved into Mount Rushmore in South Dakota in America? Now then, this is, first of all, you can get 1 point if you can say whose faces, what were their jobs, occupation, what were they famous for? And then you can get a bonus 4 points if you can name them. And finally, my bonus question, but there's bonuses today. Yehudi Menuhin was a famous performer of which instrument? A performer on which instrument, sorry. So there's your point. Now your bonus point. I am totally buzzing. I'm sorry to anyone who doesn't support watch football, because I went to Villa Park last week and I saw them absolutely smash it against Bruges. And I'm totally Villa at the moment. Sorry, Vale, Port Vale fans, Crewe fans, people not interested in football. So my bonus is Aston Villa have got a very famous supporter relating to Yehudi Menuhin. I'm not on about Prince William or David Cameron, who got mixed up with who he supported. So there's my bonus. Who was a pupil of Yehudi Menuhin and he supports the Villa? And that's my quiz.
Wonderful. Well, have a little ponder on all of those, and we will have the answers for you in a couple of batches' time. And over to Uta now, who's going to do the first story for us in batch number 3.
Okay, hello, here we go. Well, as I said, I sent out a warning after conmen targeted 3 city women, and they were all in their 80s. Police have issued an alert after 3 elderly women in their 80s were targeted by doorstep conmen. A bogus BT worker told an 82-year-old woman in Smallthorne that he needed to check her phone line. Once inside, he unplugged the line before going upstairs, and he then asked the woman for payment of an undisclosed amount and copied down her debit card details before leaving the address. Cops have revealed nothing was taken in the incident on Friday, February the 14th, but confirmed that 7 days later an elderly woman was conned into handing over £300 by 3 men claiming to be roofers. The 80-year-old victim was at home in Bentilie when the trio offered to carry out work to fix a leak. One of the men followed her inside the property, where she gave him £300 to pay for the repairs. And the man then asked for more money, saying he had only been given £100. The victim asked for her cash back, but the man refused and left the address in a white Ford van. With guttering on the roof, saying he would be back in 2 hours following the incident at 12:40 p.m. on February the 21st. In the third incident, between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. on February the 27th, a doorstep seller flogging bathroom products forced his way inside a pensioner's home and stole £60. The victim's daughter raised the alarm after her 82-year-old mother was targeted in Badley Green. Officers say the woman answered the door to a man who then barged his way in, and she bought 6 items for 20 pence each. He was then prompted to leave by another man. It was only moments later that the victim noticed £60 was missing from her purse. Now Staffordshire Police are warning residents to be vigilant following the incident, which happened between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. on Thursday, February 27. Now police are warning residents to be on their guard against distraction burglars following a spate of similar crimes in the city. Inspector Aaron Fortune from Stoke South local policing team said entering the home of an elderly or vulnerable person to steal money while they are distracted is a deplorable abuse of trust and invasion of personal space. We would like to reassure our local communities that we are investigating this incident, with officers carrying out a number of ongoing inquiries. If you have any vulnerable relatives, friends or neighbours, I would ask you to please remind them not to let anyone into their home prior or without a prior appointment. Anyone with information should call 101 or contact us via live chat on our website, quoting incident number 282 of February 21st.
Okay, over to Liz now for her first story in batch three.
Tourist numbers generate £2.3 billion economy boost. Attractions Trentham, Alton Towers and Gladstone Pottery Museum are among sites that help bring tourists to Staffordshire. Leaders praise range of attractions as visitor totals increase 30% since 2019. A boost in tourism numbers helped generate more than £2.3 billion to the Staffordshire economy. Latest tourism figures show the tourism sector was up 30% since 2019 as visitors continued to flock to attractions in the county, including Stoke-on-Trent. The region's cultural and heritage attractions emerged as major draws for visitors. Adventure and fun, nature and outdoors, as well as national landscapes, listed parks and positioning as a world capital of ceramics witnessed a notable increase in footfall. Jane Ashworth, leader of Stoke-on-Trent City Council, said, "It's great that more people have been coming to visit Stoke-on-Trent and Staffordshire, but it's no surprise. We have a unique heritage as the world's capital of ceramics, which is why Stoke-on-Trent was named a World Craft City last July. We have beautiful countryside and enviable attractions. This year is the 100th anniversary of Stoke-on-Trent becoming a city. We are confident our year-long programme of fantastic events will drive many more people to come and discover what a wonderful part of the world this is." County Council Deputy Leader Philip White said, "The figures are good news, and the new Local Visitor Economy Partnership, that's LVEP Board, the Local Visitor Economy Partnership Board, is working well. The LVEP brings together expertise from the worlds of culture, hospitality, accommodation, retail and leisure, all working together to lead, advise, influence and champion Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent as a must-see and visit destination. According to the most recent data available, 2023 saw the county's busiest year since the COVID pandemic, with more than 37 million people from home and abroad enjoying a day out or overnight stay. Visitors helped generate more than £2.3 billion on accommodation, entertainment, travel, shopping and food and drink, and the tourism and hospitality sector now support more than 24,000 jobs in Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent. English Tourism Week, which runs until March the 23rd, encourages visitor economy businesses are encouraged to help the Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent LVEP collect data to help show the value, impact and importance of the visitor economy and help track growth in this region. And if you want to contact them, if you've got any data or anything to help, you can contact them at surveymonkey.com/r/RNLBNPNP until 5 p.m. on March the 31st. Sorry, I hope that makes sense. I think I'd just go in to look for LVEP because they want to know what you think. Yeah, so you're all invited to.
Yeah, but it is Survey Monkey, so.
Pardon?
It is Survey Monkey.
So is it to do with Monkey Forest then? I'm wondering why Monkey's there.
No, because there's a company called Survey Monkey that does surveys for all these companies and businesses and organisations.
Oh, Tim's explaining it. Right. I thought, why is it just Monkey Forest? So you understand what
I've
just read.
Yeah, because I do surveys on Survey Monkey all the time.
Oh, I'll repeat what I just said then. Tell people to get in contact. How do they contact them?
Yeah. All you've got to do basically is Google Survey Monkey or Monkey and put in what the project is or what the survey is, and it will come up on there anyway. Mm. Okay, so go over to Uta now, who's going to do the next story for us in batch number three.
Good to know. Well, it's about the 3 million bid to improve the A50 to A500, which is hailed as a once-in-a-lifetime project. The politicians and business leaders called for a £3 million investment to develop the A50-A500 corridor on a visit to Parliament. Well, they took the plans to the Parliament. Representatives from Stoke-on-Trent, Staffordshire, Cheshire, Nottinghamshire, Leicestershire and Derbyshire held a House of Commons meeting alongside Lillian Greenwood, the Parliamentary Under-Secretary of State for Future of Roads. The representatives put forward the case for a once-in-a-lifetime investment to develop detailed business plans for economic growth and transport schemes. The House of Commons event was hosted by Jacob Collier, MP for Burton and Uttoxeter. And Mr. Collier said, "I'm proud to champion the A50-A500 corridor, which is essential to our regional economy and its future growth. By uniting, we can unlock opportunities for local businesses, reduce congestion and improve daily life for the people not only in my constituency but beyond. The A50-A500 corridor runs from Leicestershire to Cheshire. It plays a vital economic role as 80% of freight goes through the Midlands but can often be slow and unreliable. Improvements to the records, or well, to the roads, I should say, as part of the 50-500 investment scheme would enhance transport links and connectivity. It's thought that the projected improvement to the transport links and reduction of congestion could boost the local economy by up to 10% and create hundreds of skilled jobs. Many businesses along the corridor have joined the campaign for funding, including JCB, Michelin, Alstom, Bentley, Rolls-Royce, Toyota and Nestle. Organisations like Midlands Connect, Staffordshire Chambers of Commerce and Keele University, obviously, are also involved. Philip White, Deputy Leader of Staffordshire County Council, led a roundtable discussion on the next steps for the 90-kilometre east to west opportunities. He added, it was a privilege to chair this discussion about the transformational opportunity this proposal offers to people or for people across the North Midlands and beyond to grow our economy by 10%, adding in billions of pounds of business growth and thousands of highly skilled and well-paid jobs, and to secure the better transport infrastructure all we need. The programme will attract an estimated £1.6 billion of private sector investment, drive decarbonisation of industry, boost transport and deliver jobs and economic growth along the route of the A50 and A500. And it really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity which we simply can't afford to miss. Over to you.
Plans for 130 flats in City Tower Block set to be approved. Former offices above B&M have been vacant since 2019. One of the city centre's most recognisable buildings could be turned into 130 flats. The proposed conversion of the 11-storey Blackburn House in Old Hall Street, Hanley, would see the vacant upper 10 floors of the tower converted from offices into self-contained apartments. The offices have been empty since HM, Revenue and Customs closed its Stoke-on-Trent office in 2019. A planning application was submitted to Stoke-on-Trent City Council last year, stating that there had been no demand for the office space for years. The applicant, Mr. Sampson, wanted to create 120 one-bed and 10 three-bed flats instead. Now the plans have been recommended for approval by planning officers. Members of the planning committee will meet on Wednesday, the 19th of March, to rule on the application. A report to members states the application proposes a change of use from former office floor space to residential units. Access for future residents would be via the building's existing ground floor entrance lobby located off Old Hall Street. Essentially, this will be a car-free development. The site occupies a highly sustainable location within close proximity to a broad range of city centre facilities, including Hanley Bus Station. The site is also well served by local cycle routes and has good connectivity to the city network throughout the city. Both cycle and bus travel options offer relatively easy access to and from Stoke-on-Trent train station. The plans would not affect the B&M store on the ground floor of the building, which has a separate entrance. The report also noted the need for double glazing on at least the south side of the building, but preferably also on the north, due to recorded noise levels. It concludes the application is recommended for approval, subject to conditions.
Great stuff. So keep listening. Got more news for you coming up in batch number 4. That would be